Hi, if I could take a moment of your time before we start, if you've enjoyed previous episodes or if you enjoy this episode, if you could subscribe on the platform that you listen to, that would be really helpful. It helps us get more guests and push the podcast forward. Thanks. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Car Chat podcast. And with us this week, we have Luke of Cars with Luke. Hello.
Hi, Sam. Hi.
Welcome back to the podcast. Luke was on the podcast. It was now nearly 2 years ago. I was looking this up earlier.
At least.
May 2021. So yeah, wow. Over 2 years. Episode 94. We're nearly 190 or something now.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
And I wanted to get you back on to have a little bit of a catch up, see what you've been up to, because you're still, I've been watching from afar and still making some very cool content. Can you just, for the people that haven't come across you, who should also go check out our first podcast because we cover a lot of this, just give a little summary of sort of who you are and what you do.
Sure. So I am I don't know how to name myself yet. I'm a YouTuber, photographer, trying to be a filmmaker, trying also to be a producer. So basically combining all of that into, my passion of cars and nice roads and adventures and people. And yeah, most of my videos are based in the Alps on exciting roads. I'm definitely not a car journalist. I just like to try and make high quality videos with some emotion and fun and try and take the cars to unique places, not just driving around a city.
Yeah, I would say if someone's watched one of your videos, and it's literally like any of your videos, they're always in sick locations, like relative to
it's really important for me.
And I think when we last spoke, because you were doing the YouTube side, I reckon you were in a sort of 100,000 YouTube subscribers, something like that. And you were doing some photography, and I feel like it's evolved quite a bit since then, and I feel like you're doing a lot more filmic stuff.
I am. The film side, I think I love the most. That's what excites me the most is what excites me the most is the idea of creating movies, actually. That would be my long-term goal, to really produce some movies for my channel and for some big brands, you know, like Porsche or whoever. The production side is what I really enjoy. But yeah, it's still a mix. I'm still doing photos, still doing photography. And some months it's more video than photography, and other months the other way around. So I'm still, next to my channel, I'm still doing I don't really like to use that word, like content, but I'm still doing content for other brands, let's say twice a week.
Okay.
For their social media. So I'm still juggling private client work next to my channel.
And is that, what sort of things are you doing for other people?
Yeah, mostly it's photos for their Instagram.
Okay.
So I think I'm by no means, a commercial photographer like yourself.
Well, I'd say you are.
Really?
You take photos for companies. That makes you a commercial photographer.
I guess. I'm yet to have... Oh, no, that's not true, actually. I was just about to say I'm yet to have anything published in a magazine, but I know Rimac just wrote me yesterday and said they've put some of my photos in their magazine.
Oh, nice.
Which I don't know when that's coming, next month, I think. But yeah, my photos are quite aimed at social media.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's basically what I'm doing. I've just had some companies reach out to me and ask if I can do content for them on a monthly basis for so for example, let's say I go to a company once or twice a month and produce 15 to 25 pitches for them, and then they for the month content to post. So I'm enjoying that. It's something different. It's not car related, which is nice for me. I think to become a really good photographer, a filmmaker, you need to try everything. I learned something from every situation, whether it's filming people or hotels or clothes or animals, whatever.
Yeah, totally. I had a little bit of a look back through, and actually you've just mentioned one on the car. So you've definitely driven some pretty sick stuff since we've last seen it. Did you drive the Rimac, didn't you?
Yeah, so they came to Switzerland because they were going to start, or they are selling them now at a dealer in Zurich.
Yeah.
And they asked if I wanted to come by super spontaneously in Ondermat. They had the one press car they have from that car. And they were very nervous because they were all having flashbacks about the last time somebody drove one up a Swiss mountain pass. So their faces were just priceless, the way they were looking at me. And then when I said, can I drive it alone? Because at first they wanted the driver to come with me. And I said, for filming, it's really difficult and awkward if someone sits next to you quietly. It's so awkward. And they were so nervous, but I think I gained their trust.
Yeah,
quite quick, and nothing happened. So, I made a video on my channel, and then at the same time, we did a sunset shooting, some nice rolling shots with the car, which they used on their Instagram, and now, as they wrote me and said, they would be in the magazine also.
Nice. So, what was that like? What do you think of it?
Well, with electric cars, I'm still a bit up and down, to say the least. But out of everything that I've driven, electric cars, electric sports cars, and that's an electric hypercar, actually, it definitely impressed me the most, just based on how it feels. When you sit in it, you directly feel like, okay, I'm in something really special. I'm in a hypercar. It gives you that feeling. So to be inside it was really cool. It's very... fighter jet style. Not that I've ever sat in a fighter jet, sadly, but that's how we've all watched Top Gun, so it's a bit of that feeling. I really like the sounds, because they didn't do any fake sounds, which can be nice also, but so what you hear a lot of mechanical parts, which as you know, if you've driven a GT3 or GT3 RS, I love these mechanical parts. So you hear some nice mechanical parts moving around, which definitely adds to the fun. Power-wise, it's phenomenal. And I was in Switzerland, so definitely couldn't use the full power.
No, getting rumbled.
Yeah, but so overall, it was a positive experience. It's just a very expensive car, you know.
It is.
It's a lot of money to spend on an electric rocket.
It is. I think of all the ones I've come across, it's the one that if I had like a, I don't even know what size garage, 100 car garage with unlimited funds, that's the one that I would go, well, I would buy that one because they do, it's kind of, it's their thing, and it was their thing before it was anyone else's thing.
Yeah.
And it looks, it does look sick.
It does. Yeah, it does. I could maybe argue that it's too understated. I mean, that's what they wanted.
Yeah.
And each to their own. But for the power and how it is, I could also imagine it being a little bit more wild visually. Yeah. When the wing comes up, it does look especially cool. But it is a nice balance between still understated and looking like a hypercar. But as it is a hypercar, I think you can be a bit more crazy.
Yeah, you could. You definitely could. It would be interesting to see how this sort of evolves and the Bugatti Rimac relationship.
Yeah.
As time goes on, will be interesting to see. Because I'm conscious that we don't have too much time today. One of the things I sort of wanted to talk about was you've had a bit of a personal car journey actually, over the last when we last spoke, I feel like you had just got the RS6 or you'd had an RS6 for a little bit. Did you have an RS6 and a GT4 at the same time? Or did you have a Cayman?
No, I never had two cars at once.
Okay.
I can't remember when we... Yeah,
I can't remember. I think it was either just that or you'd... And then you'd got a GT4 and you had a manual GT4.
Yes.
And then did you change a manual GT4 for a PDK GT4? Is that right?
Yes.
What was the reasoning? Conventional petrol headism would go, but the manual's better. So why would you get a PDK?
You're not a real man unless you drive a manual.
Exactly. Talk me through that. And then you've gone through quite a journey. And then also driven
I'm
quite
still
a few
figuring it out. So the change from the manual GT4, first of all, the RS6.
Yeah.
It was one of those cars where I dreamt about for years. And maybe it's like when they say, don't meet your heroes. When I got one, I loved it for the first month.
Yeah.
And then I quickly realized it didn't excite me on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And also for the channel, I think with the RS6, you can run out of video ideas very quickly. Unless it's in the winter, in the winter, RS6, just awesome. You can just have fun with that the whole winter. But in the summer, which was when I had it, or towards the end of summer, I very quickly missed having a sports car for the mountain passes. And amazing car. I loved it. But realized it was the wrong time. I would love to own one again. And if I could personally have two cars, like, you know, a GT3 and an RS6, I mean, this would be a dream. But the RS6, it's an expensive car. And the fuel economy on the RS6 was just insane. I think I never drove a car that drunk fuel like that in my life at the time.
Yeah, I can imagine.
It's really insane. Yeah.
Living near twisty roads as well.
Yeah. Like, so
that does eat at you after a time.
It does, And I think, you know, it's normal. Obviously, these cars use a lot of fuel, but you have to be receiving the fun factor back. So when you're driving a supercar or hypercar, you're not really thinking about it. But with the RS6, even when you drive it normally, the fuel consumption is just horrific.
Yeah.
So you're not receiving this fun from it on a daily basis, but you're still paying fuel prices as if you would be driving a supercar hard all day.
Yeah.
So it was just the wrong time to have one.
But as you say, it's like you always want to have an RS6 So now you've owned an RS6. And you're like, I've experienced that. Now I'm trying some other stuff.
Yeah.
And you've sort of been through, you have been through quite a Porsche GT journey.
Yeah, I'm still working on it. It's not the end yet.
I said since then. No. Because what did you do after the PDK? You had a GT3, the dream.
Yes, at 992. Yeah, GT3. A lot of these cars were just spontaneous as well. A lot of them weren't planned. So I just kind of go with the flow now. And if offers come up it's a situation where I think, okay, I won't lose any or much money here, then I generally go for it because, well, you only live once. And I don't use that for much, but I think for cars, you know, I just want to have as much fun as possible with cars.
Yeah.
The bigger I get, the more offers I have as well. You know, I think some people forget that I have a lot of people offering me good deals because, you know, they want me to do a video with them or whatever. So I just go with the flow. And I know YouTubers can get a bit of a hard time for changing cars, but that was actually ruined by a certain few people that did it on a monthly basis. And then it gave everyone else a bad reputation for it. And then it, you know, I have people saying to me, oh, you change cars every month. And I was like, well, actually, I don't. The last ones I had always for a year or just under a year each. It can just seem faster. But yeah, the GT4 RS I didn't have for long. But going back to the GT4, I sold the manual. Then I got the PDK. Actually, I wanted a GT3 at the time. I should have gone for it then, but it was still a bit out of budget. Then I got offered this Maritime Blue, the PTS GT4 in PDK. Yeah, that was nice. And the reason... Yeah, it was beautiful. It was really beautiful. The reason I went for it was because I still loved the GT4 at the time, but the manual gearbox really frustrated me. The gear ratios, the second gear in that, it's just terrible. It's just
so
awful.
Long.
Yeah, it really took the fun away. Yeah. And the PDK partly solved that. So the gear ratios were much better with the PDK.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. For me, 718 GT4, I would only go with PDK for that reason.
I know there's some companies that shorten some stuff.
There are now. But there wasn't when I had it, but there is a company I saw some video about it, which I think shortened the manual. So yeah, if you can do that, then definitely do that.
So then you had the option of what anyone that's into Porsche at some point will come around to and go, well, I've got to have a GT3. If I can, I've got to have a GT3. So you managed to get into a GT3. PDK?
Yes. Yeah. Which I love. I think that there is no right and wrong. It's this endless beef about manual versus PDK, but it's whatever you enjoy and it's what fits into your life.
Yeah.
Simple as that. So both are amazing. And for me, you know, these cars are my one car. So I use it also daily sometimes. Yeah. So the PDK at the moment fits in better. And I do love the PDK when the GT3, because on that engine, to get the most out of it, the PDK, it works better with the engine. A few times when I drove the manual, for example, when you want to hit 9,000 RPM in the manual, when you change gear at 9,000 RPM in the manual, it just doesn't feel the same. There's something about hitting like the top revs and smashing
and
through the
gears. Bang. Yeah.
Yeah. The bang. It's super satisfying. And the PDK is actually, for me, it's really engaging. And I often change gear with the stick rather than the paddles, which I find super fun. It's this like rally sequential gearbox feeling. I find it really fun. I would like a manual one day as well. I think it would be a touring then if I got one. But
And in terms of, so you had a 992, mm-hmm. you've now moved on from there and had some stuff in between, but the sort of 991 versus 992 GT3, sort of, I say a little bit of a debate, but
yeah,
do you have a preference for the 991 platform or the 992 in GT3 form? Do you lean one way or the other?
Well, I'm still figuring it out. I need a bit more time with my 991 GT3 RS. I've only had for 3 or 4 weeks now.
Mm.
And I've only done just under 400 kilometers because now it's snowing. And yep. So now I have no chance to drive it. Yeah. So I think visually the 991, again, this is all personal preference. I think visually the 991 is the most beautiful. Like the silhouette of the what you see a 911
looks
as.
Great.
I miss the light bar on the 992, don't get me wrong. Like the light bar is just epic at nighttime. It looks amazing, super photogenic. It's I like them both in their own way. I wouldn't say I wouldn't have a 992 again. But basically, when I sold my GT4 RS, when I realized it wasn't for me and I went partially deaf in my right ear.
Okay.
for 3 days, which was the point where I said, I can't keep this car. I thought about going back to a 992 because, I admitted, I said, I missed my GT3. I missed the exhaust sound, but I thought, okay, I've had a GT3, 992. I've always wanted a 991. I felt like now is a good time to try one. The prices on them are super stable now.
Yeah.
You know, if they've done their price loss. And it's a timeless Porsche that even in 10 years it will still be as it is now. So I thought, okay, now is a good time to finally tick that box off and try living with a 991 GT3 RS. And now wait for the 992.2 to come. So that would be an option as something I would replace mine with, but I think that won't be coming out till end of 2024.
Yeah, easily, I think.
And
I've heard all sorts of rumors about what 992.2, where the hybrid is going to come in.
Yeah.
I've heard it's only going to be on the GT2 RS and maybe the turbo. I've heard it's going to be in everything other than the base Carrera, which is possible because I know with the .1s, the space is there for them to put in whoever they're doing it. I think they're putting a motor on in the transmission or something to give a bit more power. But that would be quite interesting if, let's say, Carrera S. I don't know whether they'll do it, but they could do NA engines in the normal Carrera. It might be turbo, but GT3, it will get a bit heavier, which we don't like, but at the same time, it could have another 100 horsepower and another whack of torque. Might make it quite interesting.
It's a difficult one. I mean, if they put it in the new GT3, I can't imagine they would, because then it could easily be faster than the 992 GT3 RS.
But that will have...
They like to keep
the
them
.2.
Separate. Yeah.
The .2 will be a high... If it's in the GT3, it'll be in the RS, won't it?
Well, I don't think there will be a .2 RS.
You
think?
Yeah. There's always been a .2. There was a 997. There was a 991.
I don't even know where they would go anyway from... how much bigger can you make a wing?
But we say this every time. So it's like 991. So you've got a 991.1 GT3 RS. To .2 is a bit of a visual change, but not tons.
No.
I think it will be the same sort of thing, but it could be hybrid. And then the 2 RS will be some complete
2 RS. That's the one I'm most excited for, actually, because another car I still want to experience owning is a GT2 RS 991. The prices are still high on them. I would have got one now, but it's like another 150K on top of what mine's worth, which is a lot of money. Yeah. But that's still a dream car, the GT2 RS as well.
And what about that is something that you're like, I want to have a go with? Because yet again, conventional petrol head would be like, yeah, but it's turbocharged. Mm. It's not as exciting.
Yeah, well, that would I'd be only from people that have not tried one. Because it's such a unique feel. Have you tried one?
I've been in one, but I've not driven one.
Yeah, it's... I don't think I've ever felt anything more planted than the GT2 RS. And the way it delivers the power is just... It makes you laugh.
Yeah.
For me, it's a baby hypercar. And visually, I love it. The wing, the aero on the GT2 RS, I think it looks spot on. And the sound, it's really, when the flaps open on the exhaust, it's really a beefy sound.
Yeah.
It sounds really nice. So, yeah, it's not naturally aspirated. And I wouldn't normally want to change from a naturally aspirated to turbocharged, but that would be an exception for me.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, as you say, like, you're on a journey.
Yeah.
And part of it as well is you're creating content for a channel. So having... changing into something else is helpful. Like it's
but still it's not the for some other YouTubers, that's like they base their channel on their own cars. I don't. For me, owning a car, it's just a bonus. My channel was never based on the journey of me having cars. It's really just a bonus, which is why I find it hard to understand when some people freak out about changing cars a bit, because actually It's just an extra bonus when I can have a cool car to use daily and do some extra things with on my channel. The majority of my channel, it's videos with other cars. You know, it's not my car's just an extra. And also just for me, after, you know, the 7 days a week for 10 years working straight, flat out to get to this point, it's like, okay, now I also get to enjoy...
Yeah,
you know, one of these special cars on a daily basis. It's just fun. It's just fun. If the offers come up and, you're not going to lose too much money, then, like I said, I normally would go for it. And there's still a few other cars at the moment I want to tick off. A 997.2 GT3 RS also. That would be something special.
Yeah. Totally. Do you struggle with that? I'd say that sort of the creator conundrum of if you have gone for a drive in your car to not film something or not take any photos. I think I would struggle not to take photos because I love taking photos. But then it sort of it sways it from a kind of like, this is just for me. Versus this is for I find that a bit tricky sometimes.
It is, yeah. Because if you didn't share it, did it ever happen?
Exactly.
I do. I probably did one or two drives in the summer off camera.
Yeah.
Max. And it feels weird. It feels strange,
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
It feels too strange. I mean, now I've done it so much, I enjoy doing it with the camera.
Yeah.
I guess it depends who you're with. Maybe if you're with like one or two friends and you're just in the moment with them, it's, you could not use the camera. But alone, I did have, yeah, I know, looking back, I had one special drive alone. I was up the system pass. The video idea didn't come together because of bad weather. So I just drove over it once myself, and I was driving back down. It was at dusk. I was in the GT3 RS. I was alone on the pass. And it was just one of those moments that was, it felt so special just to be up there on this pass on low light, moody weather, no one around, not a soul. So that was really nice. Just really took in the moment.
Yeah. No, it is an interesting one. And I think from a photos point of view, I can't not take photos.
No, I always like, need to know.
My brain is always on like, well, this is a cool location and I've had a cool memory. So like I'm snapping that memory.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you very much. Yeah, I couldn't not take a picture.
So with your 991 RS, are you going to do some changes to it?
Yeah.
Have you done? So, I feel like you have done some changes to it.
Yes. Exhaust, the muffler.
Yeah.
What have you got? So stock, it's too quiet, I think.
Yeah.
I know I changed from the GT4S because it's too loud, but the big difference is that was too loud in the cabin. Mm. And the noise in the GT4S is like here. There's a difference from it being here to at the back of the car. Seat inserts. What else have I done? Yeah, a bit lower, some added camber, the end plates on the wing. I've upgraded them to the 0.2 because they're a bit bigger, a bit nicer shape. Mm-hmm. And a few other things planned and don't know what's next. I won't go too crazy. I mean, what I've done to it already is quite a lot. Yeah. I would love a set of wheels on the car. And the dream wheels for me would be from the magnesium ones that they used on the GT2 RS and the 0.2. There was an option.
Yeah, that at the time. Was that part of the WISAC pack?
Yeah. Which on the GT2 RS it was. On the 0.2, I don't know.
It's quite a punchy option, I remember at the time.
Yeah, it's a lot. Yeah, I'm seeing if I can get any, or maybe I find a used set.
Yeah.
It would just really, I think, set it apart from the others. Right now, for me, it looks too stock on the outside. And I just love making my cars unique. That's always what I've done. I love it. I have so much enjoyment from making cars look unique. And then sometimes also when I've done that, that's the point where I want to change car again, because I have so much enjoyment from doing all of these things. Okay, I've done this. It looks perfect. Let's do the next one.
Yeah. I totally get that. Like as time goes on, I'm more like, oh, I want to just like play with things a little bit, change it a little bit, make it a bit different from the every single other.
Yeah. Whatever. It's fun. I mean, I find it fun.
During, I don't know whether you'd done any of these. You started doing sort of cinematic short film videos. I remember specifically a bunch of like the Night Run ones. What sort of caused you to
regret the most?
Oh, really?
Yes.
Why?
It caused me so far just too much trouble, that video.
Really? What? Okay. Yes. What was the first one like? I can't remember. You've done a few. And
yeah, the first one was the Night Vibes, the 992 GT3 Night Vibes, which was an idea I had for a while. It was, and we just went for it. I'm always looking to be different. I'm always looking to try something new and be daring, you know, and just try. So that was it. And it was super successful. I think one of my most watched videos. But in the end, so far anyway, it's just caused me too much stress. which was quite off-putting, actually, of finding motivation to go out there and film good things again, because with success comes other difficulties, as I found out.
What sort of problems?
Well, it's my most stolen video to this date. I've done at least, me personally, around 300-400 copyright claims.
Wow.
And I probably still not have another 400 at least waiting.
And is this on YouTube or Instagram or what?
Everything. Every just platform everything. You can imagine. I mean, on a daily basis, I have people sending me, Luke, isn't this your video? It just became mentally exhausting and very demotivating. I saw how many people out there have no respect for someone's work, and they think they can freely take your hard work and use it for their benefit without saying anything. And they have, they couldn't even imagine the amount of work that went into that video and time and money. So at the moment, the horrible part of that video is it cost me money to make. It cost me a lot of time. And I've only lost money because of it, because I've had to pay now a lawyer to write some letters. So at the moment, I'm just in minus because of creating something good. It's damaged me.
That is, I imagine, psychologically really tough because
it's really exhausting.
Because you've done more of a similar sort of thing. Which they seem to do well. And I think they're cool. I think you've done a really good job on those.
You're trying. It's also demotivating at times. Sometimes I think I want to do more. That's also why I didn't do another Night Vibes video up until now, because it's just exhausted me so much what happened with that, the first one.
You must have had a lot of positive stuff out of the first one, though. Step back
and
from the...
Normally, I always look at the positive. Like, you know, on whatever I do, there's always a 1% negative. I couldn't care less about it.
Yeah.
These people would never have the courage to get up and even try to do what I do. I couldn't care less. And I always look at the positive. But that one was so heavy of like... just took up my full mental capacity. And especially when I had to, you know, go and get a lawyer and I had to start paying huge legal fees. That's the point where I just felt like crying. I was just so exhausted and fed up. I mean, even every day I can go on social media and I will see someone using a clip. Last week I see brands using clips of that video to sell their products, you know? So people are using it also to make money, which is so insane that they think they can take my footage and use it to promote their like t-shirts, which they're already ripping off Porsche by writing like Porsche stuff on. And they're just ripping off everyone, and it's easy money for them.
That's the line, isn't it? I think for me, that's sort of the line. I don't like people I remember back in the early days of Instagram, you know, you'd post a photo and then every freaking account on the internet would post it and be like, check out our collection of photos.
Exactly.
And cool. And at the beginning, it was fine because you got a bit of growth. And then it got to the point where people were like, well, I'll just follow this account that posts everyone's sick stuff and I don't need to follow anyone else. But then, as you say, there's a very hard line, which is when a commercial entity takes your content and then starts using it to promote and sell. You're like, no, this is the point where you pay me money now.
But I give you another example or two more. So I've also got someone doing copyright claims for me because there's so many.
Yeah.
And it's really started to be quite negative on my mental health seeing all of it. So I have someone also doing it. And through some of the copyright claims, people even try to fight back and be like, and say that, no, we can take your footage. So yeah. That's, I was like, you know, that's the point it went to where I just didn't know what to say or think anymore, where people were even fighting back and threatening me, you know.
That's insane.
It's like, okay, we can take this to court. Like, they really think that they can use my footage for their brand, and I don't have the right to say that it's even mine. Maybe you saw or not, I don't know. But I mean, the biggest, I can't talk about it much right now, but people know about it. So that part of that video was used on the Post Malone World Tour. I think it's called, it was the 24 Karat World Tour.
Without asking you.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, wow. That's no joke. Like, there's a lot of money being made in this situation. Then not a lot of money needs to be transferred.
I had to figure all of that out. I mean, yeah, the money made from it is, as you can imagine, just insane. And that was the point where it just broke me, where I was being tagged in stories around the world from people at Post Malone concerts, like, oh, watching Post Malone and Cars with Luke in the background. And that was the point where I just broke. I just, you know, I wish they had reached out to me and said, Luke, like, we love this. Can we use this as like a recurring clip with some graphics? I'm like, yeah, awesome. Like, you know what? How about I even create something for you? Let's work together. That's my mentality. Well, like,
you'll
pay
me some money, which will be insignificant in the context of your tour.
Exactly.
And it'll
I would have asked for a fair price of just, okay, that's what I want per show for you to use my footage. And like, I'm so up for working together. Like, I
that would be so cool.
Yeah, it would be amazing. But it was just taken. It was just, I think the difficult part of that to understand was that for such a big brand and concert and name, how that got through like a clearing, there must have been some people that check, okay, we need to be careful what we show. Do we have rights to this? You know? So I've not talked about it since. A lot of people have been asking me the last half year, but right now it's
brutal.
All going through the legal system. So, I mean, I can mention it because everyone knows about it, you know, but I won't say anything more about it at the moment till
I'm conscious that you've got to go in like a second, but I think, that sounds rubbish.
It was,
but the content, is, if you could sort of put that aside, I'm not saying like, you know, forget about it or anything, but just in the context of this conversation where like people are really loving your content. People are really liking these videos.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
And that's like, that's the overall thing.
That's what makes me happy. You know, every time someone stops me and tells me how much they enjoy my videos, I receive so many heartwarming messages from people around the world that tell me that I inspire them so much and my videos make them feel good and makes them happy, brings them joy. And that for me is the absolute best. That's what gives me the energy always to do more. I love seeing people happy and I love sharing. If I get to share my passion and makes people happy and entertains them, then I mean, this is just the best thing in the world. It's just sadly things like that video, it does create a big cloud over your head. And you know, to be a creative, you need this kind of clear head. And so the last half a year, this is like a huge pressure on me in the background of fighting this. It's just completely draining that I have to now fight to claim back what's mine. You know, I have to prove that that's mine. Yeah.
Like, surely this requires zero proof. Just check I uploaded the video.
That's what you think. And I think I talk for a lot of artists and creators around the world that I know have also suffered from similar things and had content stolen or used without permission. And like I said, the point when people start making money off using your content is, I mean, you really crossed the line.
Yeah. That's a shame. I don't really want to leave that as the bit we leave off on.
No, but, sure. No, of course.
I'm conscious you've got to go.
No, it's fine. I mean, there's positives. Of course, it's awesome that I saw my footage being played.
It's also rubbish.
Around the world. Like, it. Of course, this was amazing. I mean, you know, hundreds of billions of people saw that, you know, and it's like, yeah, that's amazing, you know. But at the same time, the fact that it was just taken and I wasn't paid. And in the end, I've only lost money from me creating something nice. It's like, it's just not fair. It's just not fair. But
yeah, and the psychological—that's the—I think with stuff not working out or whatever, like it's the mental burden that is then on you, and you're like, but I love this stuff. I've done this because I love doing it.
Yeah.
Why is it not working, or why is it coming back like this? Or
why are people taking advantage? It's horrible. It's but yeah, the big picture, the majority, of course, it's positive. And I love making the movies and I want to continue making them. I want to continue doing the vlogs, just the fun vlogs. And then every now and again, the movies need more time. They need money. I have to pay an assistant, you know, each time to help me film. Yeah. So I'm trying to figure it all out still and find more budget. The more money I can find, the more movies I will make.
Yeah.
That's as simple as that at the end.
And it will lead into, I don't know whether you know this stuff is happening already, but you said you wanted to make more films and more films for other people.
100%.
Doing stuff like that, even if you did it super rarely, people go, oh, right, okay, you can make that. Like we see what other stuff we do and we know that, but you've done this.
Yeah.
Okay, no, come and make a video for us or whatever. And then you
No, I'd love to. I really
swing that way.
Still figuring it out, as you know, and just, going with the flow and...
It's cool. We'll keep it up.
What happens.
I'm enjoying it from afar. I've been stuck at home with a small child since we last spoke.
Yeah, so, I remember.
But I will get out in your direction and hit you up at some point.
Yeah, I really hope so. You're welcome anytime. You bought a new car, didn't you? You bought a new Porsche.
I did. I got a GTS.
Yeah, that's like the family sporty.
This sort of family solution. You're into your Porsches, so I'll give you the nerd spec on it.
Please.
I've deleted the GTS suspension.
Okay, the Carrera interesting.
Suspension or PASM Plus 10 or whatever it's called.
Okay.
The acoustic glass. Noise insulating acoustic glass, which no one expects. It's a bit quieter inside.
Okay.
And then, you know, just that's pretty much it. Nice stereo, etc. And I'm loving it. I actually really enjoy using it.
Was it a 991 or 992?
992.
I remember seeing it. You posted, but I couldn't remember which one. The 992 GTS also for me is like a car I want to own. But now I did think about getting one or moving to a GTS eventually and then having that one car for everything. Like, okay, so that's my car. I use it all year rather than having a GT3 and saying I can only use it in the summer.
Yeah.
I mean, the GTS, I loved it. It's one of my favorite cars. I would just spec it with the lightweight package, so no receipts, the carbon buckets. And then I have this cross between like a really cool daily but still a sports car feeling. But actually I'm also now waiting for the 992.2 GTS to come,
which
will I guess be a hybrid, and
it might be a hybrid, which will be quite interesting. The one I would love them to do would be do NA hybrid. I don't think they'll do it, but NA hybrid on that car. I think that would be like
awesome. Would be a special But I'm excited. I mean, if they make it a hybrid, that will be a rocket. I mean, it already is fast, as you
know. It's already really fast.
But it will be a GT3 fast or faster even potentially. I don't know. But it will be.
Well, it'll be all the cars. So that's like a 500 horsepower car now. If they get a hybrid, it'll be 600. And like, it's plenty fast enough now.
Yeah,
like
totally.
Winter and wet and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. You know, midway through third, you're like burning some rubber.
Yeah.
Right, let's wrap this up. And we'll definitely talk again because I've got so much stuff we can chat about, cameras and whatnot and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I'm down for that. Let's do another one on cameras. I'm all down for
right.
that.
Right. Five car garage, unlimited value.
Oof.
Go.
Wow. Okay, not prepared for that. Okay, so I guess there's got to be one hypercar in there. So I'd go for a 918 Spider.
Nice.
I would go for the only BMW I would want, which is the E46 CSL.
Mm. Interesting.
Yeah. I'm not really much of a BMW guy, but that was the airbox sound on that, and it was really...
It's a cool car.
Yeah, it's a cool car.
That's two.
Needs to be a GT3 in there. Question is, which one? That's a tough one.
Which one?
Yeah. That's really tough. That's really hard to say which one. Because I've actually not driven a 907.2 RS yet.
If I do come to Switzerland, I'll bring my one.
Oh, you have? I forgot you have one, yeah.
Sorry.
So I guess that could be one, but I've not driven it yet. I can't say.
Yeah.
I mean, look, any GT3 at the end, I think, the one I have now, even the 992, I guess for visual reasons, I'd say, okay, the one I have now, 901.1 or 0.2
cool
RS.
Thing.
Yeah, it's timeless at the end.
So that's three. Have you got like a sort of quasi-practical daily winter whatever in there somewhere?
Yeah. It would have to be either a GTS or a Dakar.
Ooh.
I guess go GTS you could and have rear seats.
Yeah.
And I could say that's the one
practical. There's a rumor going around that in the next sort of generation, 992.2, because Dakar was reasonably popular, we might get, and I would love this, Dakar suspension option.
Yeah.
So you can have a raised Carrera, but of any model.
I would do that. I would go for that over a Dakar. Yeah.
Yeah. Like
definitely.
I would totally have my car, as it is, it's great. But if I could have it slightly raised, and there's no reason for me, I could just change the suspension to do this in the winter. That would be pretty awesome. I don't need all the protection and I want back seats and all that sort of stuff. Right. Okay. And you've got one more.
Oh, is it?
Do you have a classic?
I've not driven enough. I love classics. I love looking at them. Mm. I've just not had the opportunity to drive them that I could say which one I would want.
Yeah.
I guess there should be a V12 in there, shouldn't there? Should have one V12.
Very possibly.
And the best V12 to this day that I, well, most exciting was the 599 GTO.
Mm. Does that...
And I'm not... Ferrari
stick
guy,
in your mind
was, yeah the car. Sound it was just it was a limited edition one from Fernando Alonso. It was one of one that also was louder than normal, and it was that car really stuck with me actually. That was
a sick car.
That V12 is something else.
And that package, when I look at all of the sort of special edition V12s, looking back at the sort of 599, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Mm. That's the one I go, okay, if I was going to have one, even having not driven one, I've driven some of the others, like that's the one that appeals to me the most. Actually.
It does. Yeah. I have a few friends at the moment looking into F12s and I'm not sure what the market's going to do with them. I think it's an interesting car to buy right now, the F12. But otherwise, it would be the Vantage V12 in a manual.
Yeah.
But the GTO is the sound of that is really
it's like
something.
Of all of the V12 noises, you can go, okay, you can have a other brand V12 or you can have the Ferrari one, and that sort of particular version of it just sounds the most insane. Like Aston V12 sound nice, but they do not sound Ferrari V12. How?
Yeah.
Like it's not the same thing.
Yeah, no. Like I'm just smiling, thinking about that V12 sound now. Who knows? Maybe one day as well, I change from owning a Porsche for once and get something like totally different. But I don't know, maybe my following would give me too much of a hard time if I did.
Nah.
Anyway, the GTO is, well, what are they now? What, 500,000 or more?
Yeah, more probably. Yeah. Right hand drive, they went up loads. They went up to like £900 at some point. But I think they're back down at sort of 600.
Oh, yeah, bargain.
And then left hand drive is a bit less.
Okay.
450, 500 or whatever. But it's a lot of cash. And you could get a five, like, I know that it's not the same, but it's difficult to discount. You could just get a 599 and put a rowdy set of pipes on it, and it's going to be 95% of the way there.
Yeah, this is true. Yeah, this is really
true. For
like
$100,000 or less.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly that.
But yeah. These are things you want to try, and you want to be like, ideally, can I borrow someone else's car for like a week?
A month,
which you get to do often, a month, and then you're like, I've had the full ownership experience. Yeah, I can now try something else without having to own it.
Exactly. I should stop buying them and just ask people to borrow them for like 3 months at a time.
Yeah, I'd be like, I'll do 1,500 miles. You'll get loads of cool content. Like, thanks very much. Right. Well, thanks very much for coming on the podcast.
Yeah. And, sorry, I have to go pick up my dog.
No worries.
I would love to continue talking, but let's do another one.
We'll do another one.
Yeah, I have time this month.
Right, we'll do another one at some point, probably possibly soonish, and we can talk about some
Christmas
some other stuff.
Camera special.
Yeah, exactly. for the camera nerds out there. Right,
yeah,
perfect.
Cool.
Thanks very much.
Cheers, Sam.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.